June is a home carer working for a local authority.
We work very complicated shift patterns, so I would say I had individual care of 4 people at the minute. But then I work evenings and weekends, and then you can see 15 or more people in an evening. Or if you work in the days as well, it could be well into the 20s, if you work morning and evening, which I very often do. Today, I started work at 8 o'clock. I went to my first client, which was a gentleman. He's had to shower and shave, and that's basically that there. Then I go to my next client, which is 2 old ladies. One is 92, and her daughter is 68, but is very, very frail and ill. So I was there, gave some personal care breakfast, helping to get dressed, making beds and so forth, and then did some shopping. Then I went on to my next client and did an hour's housework. That was, again, was a married couple. The chap is a double amputee, and his wife is very near blind. But they manage so much between them, but, you know, just in case they're topping up what they do. So then for an evening shift, I would start, it's flexible, but at the moment, as the pattern runs, 5:30, I would see in the region of 14 or 15 people. Some of them I would be going back to a second time. And you'd start off in the early evening, give them tea. That would be the first few. Then the next few are people who want to be undressed but don't necessarily need to be taken to bed. And then at the end of the evening, it's the people who want to be put to bed. Again, the finishing time is very flexible because of clients' requirements. But I would usually be finished by 10, but not necessarily. It used to be almost all housework and shopping. Now it's much more hands-on, encouraging people to go private for housework and shopping.
Giving home care obviously means working in someone else's home.
I don't mind it because I'm there for a purpose, if you like, but I would be very inhibited about opening somebody else's cupboard doors, for instance. You know, you have to be sort of, you don't do that really. You know, it's not what you do, it's not what you're there for. You're not there to intrude, you're just there to do your bit as required and not intrude at all.
But there are other forms of intrusion, given the intimate nature of personal care.
It doesn't affect me in the sense of embarrassment, because for some reason I just don't get embarrassed about it. But clients, you have to be aware of, they're not used to being bathed by other people or washed by other people. So you have to be aware of their modesty and dignity. So you would never, say, leave somebody completely naked, or if they were having a shower, you would keep the nakedness for the minimum amount of time. You would drape them with something as soon as possible, just to keep their dignity, really. It makes them more comfortable.
One of June's clients is Mr. Alan Bright, who has Alzheimer's disease. He lives at home with his wife Pauline. Both are in their 70s. Here they talk with blog author Sheila Peace.
Do you remember June? Who comes in the morning?
Do you remember anyone named June?
Yes, I do know June very well.
I don't, do I? Why is it I don't know?
You never remember her.
Mm. Well, have I missed something?
Home carers come in to assist Mr. Bright twice a day, and he also attends a day centre. For Mrs. Bright, this means an early start.
Any idea of going back to bed, I wipe that right off the slate. Because he's up again and you're, you know, dragging yourself out of a comfortable bed. So what I do, it's usually 5:30, something like that. And he's raring to toilet and we're fighting about trying to keep him out of the bathroom and strip down and do that lot. So I put my dressing gown on and go to the toilet. You've got to go in with him because he spreads it all over the place. It's a pretty disaster area if you don't go in. And then I get him back... push him gently, not so gently, back into bed. And what time of night is, I've got to get ready for work, he says. So I say, you're not going to work now, you're retiring. We go over and over that hundreds of times. gradually I calm him down and I keep an eye. You know, when you're watching the baby, you think it's going to sleep and you start to walk away and the eye opens. Well, this is exactly what happens. It's blissed eyes. I keep telling him how lovely it is in bed. You know, no need to go to work now. Of course, there's light, you see, so I draw all the curtains hastily and keep it dark if I can. I edge towards the door to go and make myself a cup of tea. And he has eye drops because he's got glaucoma, so he likes them. So I give him his eye drops then, and that gets him lying down. And with a bit of luck, I rush down and let Molly out and tea on the go. You can hear the boards creak and he's up again into the toilet. So I have to race upstairs. So the whole procedure is repeated. I've got my cup of tea now and we've got a chair like this in the bedroom, luckily. I take my pillow and I put his dressing gown around me as well. And I sleep with my feet up on the bed. Because it's no good. I used to get up and do ironing, but it's no good. You can't leave him. And that is repeated again about an hour later. I'll come down and get the revolting sugar puffs. And that's all I have. And then as long as I'm working upstairs, he's all right. Just. And it's time for me to get up. So by 8 o'clock, I know June's going to come.
I simply got a phone call asking me to go in. That was followed up by the form they send us, which would just have his name, address, and the details of the work he's supposed to do there. And in Mr. Bright's case, it's just wash and dress. You know, that's all it'll say, just wash and dress. Don't do anything for Mrs. Bright at all, apart from leaving what I do tidy. I would leave the bathroom tidy when I come away. I usually make the bed, which isn't sort of specified on the job, but it's just a case of, as I get Alan out of the bed, I make the bed. It's a habit, I think, because home carers make beds, so you just do it. I like making a difference, really. I think it's only a temporary difference, usually, but you go in and for a while they feel better, more comfortable or whatever, and then you leave. You can't make a permanent difference, but you improve things for a while.
So the bathroom is shut and I can hear them singing. And she laughs a lot, you know. It's lovely just to have... It's such a relief. Have all this going on in the house. And the bus comes. So we're all outside, waving to one and calming everybody down.
Care for Mr. Bright takes over at the front door.
We are the first line of contact, obviously, with the client and the carer. Because we see him first. So if there's any illnesses to report or any troubles, just watch this or watch that, you know. So we can report to the centre workers when we go in. That's mainly our job.
Alan's been coming here since January. He started off coming here 3 days a week, which very quickly went to 5 days. The need is very great there for Pauline, his wife, to have some time to herself, really. She's getting very tired, very stressed. We welcome Alan as he arrives off the bus. He needs guiding into the unit. He is quite disorientated and he may go off down the drive. We encourage him to sit down and have a cup of tea and calm him down because he's quite anxious. We'll sit with him and try to do something on a one-to-one basis. He does enjoy talking, but finds focusing on any sort of topic for a length of time quite trying. He gets lost and confused and his mind blocks. He will then like to get up. He likes to get up and walk around. He's quite an active person. He has a lot of energy. During the course of the day, he requires a lot of reassurance and orientation as to where he is and why is he here.
Meanwhile, Mrs. Bright has other things to do.
And I come and clear the wreckage and, with a bit of luck, grab what's left of Alan's toast and marmalade and eat that and a cold cup of tea just to get cleared up because I'm usually going out. This morning I was off to the carers group, which is at the Campbell Centre. That's the Alzheimer's carers group. And a bus up the top of the road, and I was there till 12, and then they gave me a lift back, and I came back. had my dinner, because I find I cannot cook a dinner with Alan. It worries him. He gets upstairs and starts taking all his trousers off and coming down and looking at, poor me, I can't do my trousers up, while I'm trying to concentrate on the arts of cooking. So I don't attempt that. He just has beans on toast at night or something like that, which works much better. So I had my dinner and cleared up, and I usually have an hour my piano. I play an hour. I just lose my... But there's plenty going on in the garden. There's the kitchen always in a mess. You know, I'm always poking around the house, really. That's all. Because Dad comes at 3 and we'll take Molly walking out then.
Is the dog going to need a walk, do you think?
Hmm?
Is the dog going to need a walk, do you think?
She's all right. Isn't
it? She's very lively.
Yeah. That's why I don't go after her, you see. I don't want to get too lively.
Now it'll come, and that's about all. He's tired after then, because he's been indoors at Redwood, so he likes his walk, but he does get tired. And then we come in, and he starts, where's his mother? And I find this very tiring, because he asks me so often, and when did she die, and he didn't know, why wasn't he told, and all this. And to get away from this, it goes about my daughter dying, and all this, so... And everybody else, he's great for death. He loves it. Now, I find it, I don't really want to talk about it. So I put the television on. He doesn't like television, but I'll sit here with him, hold his hand. I usually go to sleep then. He'll stop the questions, that's the thing. And we have a light meal about 6. And 8:30, usually the ladies come. And he's glad he's had enough. Usually argues a bit with them and stands at the bottom of the stairs. I think he likes winding them up, actually. He says, you know, I don't want to go up. But when he's glad to go.